Good morning. Everybody found us at 10 o'clock this morning. That's awesome. Anybody show up early and you care to raise your hand? We won't laugh, I promise. You know, one of the most interesting things I love to watch when we combine services like this is when people show up and it never occurred to them, somebody might be in my seat, right? And so some of you normally are over here and you're over here, and some of you I see are normally towards the back and you're in the front, or you're normally front row and you're in the back. And so it's just, you know, there's a great quote from Mark Batterson, who's a local pastor, and it's change of pace plus change of place equals change of perspective. So there you go. Maybe that's appropriate this morning. But it's great to see everybody. It's great to be worshiping together. We will put in some extra chairs on the very, very back row for next week because we're a little bit cramped here and we don't want to crowd everybody. We want everybody to have a space to seat. So we'll be working on that this week. But we're glad to be worshiping all together this morning and through the summer months. Let's go to God in prayer real quick. God, we thank you just for an opportunity to worship you and to focus on who you are in our lives this morning. We thank you just for the beauty of this day in spite of the heat. And God, we thank you for what you're going to say to us this morning and what you're going to do in our lives this week as we put into practice some of the things maybe that you're going to teach us and show us this morning. So open our hearts and open our minds. Help us to hear your voice, and then help us to have the courage to obey your voice and to move in the direction that you call us, whatever that looks like for each one of us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes, and while you're doing that, let me just recap real quickly what we talked about last week as we kind of launched this new series. We're going to be in it for a few weeks. We looked at this passage in Ephesians chapter 5, and I highly, highly encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is just a practical book, and Ephesians was written by Paul, and Paul was writing to a bunch of other churches. And basically, he's telling the folks in all of these churches who are new believers, brand new Christians, followers of Christ, he's telling them how they need to live now. And he says, you know, you used to live one way before you were a follower of Jesus. And now that you're a follower of Jesus, now that you're a Christian, you need to live a different way. And he begins to give them all of that stuff that they need to know. And in Ephesians, he gets really, really practical on how to live as a follower of Christ. And here's the verse that we looked at. He said, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And in that passage, Paul tells us, he says, you need to be careful how you live. You need to be careful how you walk through life, that we need to look around, we need to look behind, we need to look ahead. And he reminds us when he says the days are evil in that passage, he's reminding us that there are influences in our culture that want to take us places that we really don't want to go. That if we just kind of lift our feet up and we just kind of move with the current of culture, whether that's relationally or financially or professionally, whatever it is, that we will end up somewhere one day where we don't want to be, where we never wanted to go. And he says, you have to be wise. And here's the question that we're focusing on, a single question throughout this entire series we're going to look at. And it's this, that every opportunity, at every invitation and at every decision that I have to make, I need to stop and ask myself, in light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? In light of my past experiences, because here's the deal, your past is your past, and my past is my past. And what might be wise for you may not be wise for me because of my past experiences. In light of my current circumstances, in other words, you just got married, or you just had a baby, or you just moved, or you just started a new job, or you just started a new semester, or whatever, you just went through a crisis of some sort, maybe a breakup, a divorce, some kind of personal loss. In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing for me to do? And then in light of my future hopes and dreams, in light of where you want to be someday, financially, professionally, relationally, in light of where you want to be someday, what is the wise thing for you to do? And this is not about what's right. This is not about what's legal. It's not about what is everybody else doing or anything like that. What is the wise thing for you and me? What's the wise thing for us to do? And the action item last week, I said, was you don't have to do anything. Just ask the question. That at every opportunity, every invitation, every decision, we're just going to kind of start building in the habit of asking this question of what would we do if we were going to choose wisdom. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at some other options. Because here's the deal. You don't have to do this. You don't have to ask this question. You don't have to be careful. You don't have to walk wisely through life. Remember, the first thing I said last week was wisdom is really an option. That God lets us choose whether we follow wisdom in our lives or not, whether we ask and answer the question or not. And so we're going to look at some other options in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs was written by a guy named Solomon. And Solomon was king. He followed King David. He was King David's son. And Solomon was known as the wisest man who lived in his day. In fact, he was so wise, and his reputation was such that kings and world leaders would come, travel far and far away, would come and ask him for his wisdom about decisions that they had to make. And so he has a lot of wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, he tells us that there are four different kinds of people. There are wise people. We've talked about that, and we'll continue to talk about that. But he says there are three other types of categories of people. And today, I want us to look at those three other categories. And let me start out with just a warning to you as I begin, because some of you are going to be offended by what I'm going to say. Some of you are going to want to argue with me about what I'm going to say. And all I would ask is that as you argue with me, you just argue with me in your head, okay? If you would just do that, that'd be great. I'm always up for a conversation later, and so I'd be happy to talk to you more about what we're going to talk about today. But for some of us here, what we're going to look at, it's going to be a little bit offensive because Solomon is about to tell us that if we don't opt for wisdom, we're automatically opting for something else. That if we don't opt for wisdom, we are automatically opting for some other things. If you choose not to walk carefully and you walk away from wisdom, that you are walking towards something else. And a lot of people, perhaps some of us here today, have never really stopped to consider what it is they're walking towards and what it is they're opting for. And so we say things like, you know what, I know what the wise thing is for me to do. I'm just going to do it anyway, right? And that's what they say is the wise thing to do, but you know, I'm not sure I really believe that that's the wise thing to do. So for some of us, this might be a little bit offensive. So here's what I want to do as we walk through these options, these three options. The first thing is just this, is no elbows, okay? No elbows today. Married people, if you're sitting next to each other, no elbows. And if you're sitting next to your teenager or your college students, please don't cut your eyes over towards them or you know, clear your throat or shake your head or anything like that. All I want you to do is I want you to picture if you're not opting for wisdom, if you're not opting for wisdom, I simply want you to picture which one of these other options might you be leaning towards or opting for, maybe without even realizing it. So let's get started. Here's the first one. The first one is the simple person. Now, the simple person, the reason they're not wise, it's not because they don't want wisdom. It's not because they're against wisdom. It's because they're too young to know any better, okay? The simple person lacks life experience. And so they're just clueless. That's just the way it is. They're not bad. They're not trying to make bad decisions. They're not trying to ruin their lives or anything like that. They're just clueless. They're young. And some of you who are here today and you're young, I've already offended you because I just called you clueless, right? But it's true. And here's the deal. We've all been there, okay? We have all been, every human being has been the simple person at one point in our lives, because at one point in our lives, all of us were just young and lacked experience. We just hadn't lived long enough to gain the life experience we wanted. Are there any Taylor Swift fans in the room? By show of hands. Okay, if you're, is she still, my daughter tells me she's still producing music. She's still out there, right? Yeah, some of you are, you are fans. Well, anyway, so Taylor Swift, back in 2009, she produced a song that was inspired by her and her best friend's freshman year of high school. And I think that she just summed it up well. The song's name is 15. Anybody heard the song 15? Yeah, lots of you have heard the song 15. I think she got it exactly right when she wrote this song. I think she just kind of sums this whole thing up for us with just one line from that song where she says this. She says, when you're 15 and somebody tells you they love you, you're going to what? Yeah, you're going to believe them. Some of you heard the song. You're going to believe them. And she's saying, hey, when you're 15 and some cute boy tells you he loves you, you're going to believe him. And you're not going to believe him because you're a bad person. And you're not going to believe him because you're dumb. And you're not going to believe him because of any of that. You're going to believe him because you're 15. And that's what you do when you're 15. It just goes with being 15. And it's not a criticism. But, and this is important, it is a warning, okay? Because simple people, our problem is, and maybe this is your problem, you just lack experience. You haven't lived long enough to have it. And the simple person responds to wisdom. If you say to the simple person, hey, that's not the wise thing to do, or you really need to think about that, the simple person responds like this, and they'll say things like, it'll be fine, right? Nothing's going to happen. And the older, wiser person, and if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The older, wiser person is sitting there thinking of everything that could happen, and we know what could happen. So here's the deal. If you're 21 or older, I won't make you raise your hand, but if you're 21 years or older, here's the thing. You lack experience. Now, it's not your fault, okay? And by the way, all of us who are over 21, we would love to be 21 again, okay? We envy you. I mean, you're cool, you understand technology, you actually know how to use your smartphones. You can wear clothes that we try to wear them, and our spouses are like, no, you can't pull that one off, right? But here's the other thing, though. You haven't faced any real consequences in life for most of you at this age. You, because you're young, you've never been in debt to the point to where you're not sure you're going to be able to pay the mortgage this month, or you're not sure you're going to be able to pay the rent this month. And you're not, at this point, you're not afraid of debt. That those of us who are a little bit older understand that you should be afraid of debt. And you just lack experience. And you've probably never had your heart broken. And I mean broken so much that you would say, I don't know if I'll ever trust another guy again. I don't know if I'll ever trust another woman again. But here's the thing about being the simple person. And if this is you, listen up. You can have something that the rest of us can't have. You have a window of opportunity, but it's closing pretty quickly on you, and you can have it both ways. You can have the benefits of youth and the benefits of wisdom all at the same time. You can have the benefits of youth where you've got your whole life ahead of you, and you're young, and you get to do cool things, and you can wear skinny jeans and get by with it, and all of that, and you can do all of that stuff that teenage and 20-something persons get to do, and you can have wisdom at the same time. You can have your youth and you can have wisdom, but you will have to seek wisdom because it will not come to you naturally. It will not, you will not recognize it on your own. So let me say this to all the simple people or all the young people in the room. And if this is you, you might want to write this down. Don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Or don't trade what you're going to want most one day for what you want right now in the moment. You can have it all. You can have your youth, and you can have the advantage of wisdom, but you're going to have to go after it, and you're going to have to ask for it. You're going to have to do something that nobody else in your culture is going to encourage you to do. You're going to have to stop, and at every invitation, and at every opportunity, and at every decision, you're going to have to stop and ask, what is the wise thing for you to do? What's the wise thing for me to do? So that's the first category. The second category that Solomon gives us is he talks about the fool. The fool. Now, the difference between the simple and the fool is that the fool knows what the wise thing is. They just don't care, right? And it's like, hey, don't you know that's a bad idea? Yes. And you're going to do it anyway? Yep. It's my life, right? Why are you gonna do that? Because I want to. I don't give a. And you can fill in the blank with whatever kind of people you hang around with, okay? Whatever that is. But we say things to them like, you know how this is gonna end up, don't you? Yeah. And you're gonna do it anyway? Yeah, it's my life. I can do what I want. Now, and this might be a little bit offensive. Solomon says, if that's you, he says you're a fool. And here's what he says in Proverbs. It's an incredible verse. He says, as a dog returns to its vomit. Now let's just stop there for a minute and get a really good picture of what that looks like before we read the rest of the passage. Have you ever seen a dog do that? I mean, it's just gross, isn't it? I mean, it's horrible. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools return to their folly. So last time you did that, do you remember what happened? Yeah, I remember. I was there. And you're gonna do it again? Yeah, weren't you in church? I'm a fool. That's what we do. We return to our vomit, right? That's what a fool says. Now, this is what is amazing, though. We can all see this in other people, can't we? In fact, some of us are probably thinking, I can't wait to send this to so-and-so that I know, right, who needs to hear this. But before we kind of pass the message on to somebody else, let's think about this for just a minute. And here's what I would say. If you have an area in your life where you would say to yourself, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know this is not healthy, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I know this is not good for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know this is probably not the financial decision I should make or the professional decision, or I know I shouldn't be in this relationship, but I'm going to do it anyway. Solomon would say that in that area of your life, you are being a fool. A fool knows the difference between right and wrong, and they just don't care. A fool knows the consequences of their action. And they just don't care. Now, here's the cure for the fool. It's different than the simple person. The simple person, the cure for them is they just simply need time. They need to get a little bit older and have a little more life experience behind them. But the cure for the fool is tragedy. It's tragedy. And some of us, we've already learned this the hard way, haven't we? For the fool, most of the time, the way we learn is through tragedy in our life. And let me say one more thing, and then we'll move on. For those of us who would say, you know, I don't care, I know, but I'm going to do it anyway. Here's the thing that I think you should at least know. You don't have to do anything with it. You don't have to change, but I think you should at least understand this. Here's what you need to know, that when you say, you know, it's my life, it's my body, it's I can do whatever I want to, it's my time, it's my money, I can do whatever I want to, I'm not hurting anybody, that's just not true. And this is where I think your foolishness has blinded you to your selfishness. Because here's what Solomon says in the next verse. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion or a husband or a wife or the father of, the mother of, the brother or sister of, the children of, the employee of, the friend of, a fool suffers harm. See, the real tragedy of being a fool, the tragedy of knowing right and wrong and decided, I don't care. It's just, you know, it isn't just hurting you. That it's eventually going to hurt someone else. And you can say all day long, well, you know, it wasn't my intention. Yeah, but they're still hurt. Yeah, but I never meant to. Yeah, but the damage is still there. You know, I was just. Yeah, but it's still not going to change anything because the companion of fools suffer harms. And those of you who are middle, high school, college age students, this is why your parents freak out about your friends all the time. Okay? Because you could be the wisest kid in the world, but it's the companion of fools who suffer harm. And if they aren't going to care about their finances, they're not going to care about your finances. And if they're not going to take care of their body, they're not going to take care of yours. And if they're not going to be concerned about your relationships, they're not going to be, or their relationships, they're not going to be concerned about your relationships. If they don't care what happens to them in the future, they're not going to worry about what happens to you in the future. The fool is the person who says, I don't care. I'm just going to do it anyway. And then the last person that Solomon gives us is really the most extreme. And this person, this is the person that you do not want to work for, okay? And this is the person that hopefully you have not or never do marry in your life, okay? It's the mocker. It's the mocker. The mocker is the fool on steroids. And the mocker, not only do they know the difference between right and wrong, and they don't care, this is the man or this is the woman who's going to scoff and make fun of the people who do what's right and who do know the difference. This is the person that's critical. This is the person that's condescending, and they control conversations. They control their relationships with their attitudes. They always come off as if they're the smartest person in the room, even though they're not. Okay, and so they control their world, they control their relationships through criticism and through their actions, and they're just difficult, difficult people to be around. And here's what Solomon says about the mocker. He says, whoever corrects the mocker invites insults. Not just, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway, but insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. And here's the deal. If you have somebody like this in your life, you can't win with a mocker. You just can't. And if you've been around them, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, if you continue to read Solomon, Solomon actually says, and this is a little bit harsh, but he says, just throw them out. Just toss them out. There's nothing you can do about a mocker. So that's the third category. That's the third person. So here's how I would summarize everything that Solomon has just said about these three categories. He says, correct the simple, and they just won't get you, right? You know what? That's not going to hurt me. It'll be fine, right? Correct the fool, and they'll just ignore you. And I know, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. Correct the mocker, and they're going to hate you. But when you correct the wise, Solomon says the wise will thank you. Because the wise seek understanding. And here's what the wise know. They know this. The wise knows that what they don't know, and they're not afraid to listen to people who do know. Wise people are learners because they're always trying to get better. Or if you're a Christian, you're trying to constantly get closer and closer to your Heavenly Father. Now, here's the thing. Eventually, everyone needs wisdom in their life. Eventually, the simple, the fool, the mocker, they're all going to need wisdom. At some point, they find themselves in a situation where they can't think their way out of it, talk their way out of it, criticize their way out of it. At some point along the way, everybody in these three categories, they eventually need to be able to make the right decision or work things out or break an addiction or move forward or get out of debt or save a relationship. At some point along the way, everybody needs wisdom. But the problem is, Solomon says, the problem is if you stay in one of these categories long enough, that eventually you'll get to the point where you don't even recognize what wisdom is when you see it. That when someone comes along and says, you know, here's the solution to your problem, if you stay in one of these categories too long, Solomon says, if you stay there long enough, not only will you reject it, you won't even recognize it when you see it. He says you can be in one of these categories for so long that your situation becomes almost hopeless. So here's what Solomon does. At the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, he describes wisdom as a woman. And he describes wisdom as a woman who's walking through the streets of a town or a village, and she's calling out to everybody, who wants wisdom? Who wants wisdom? Come and get it. And I want to read this to you, and then we'll wrap this up. And I want you just to listen as you imagine what this might be like. And this is really, really important to understand what I'm about to read. This is not God talking. This is wisdom talking. This is Solomon saying, I've observed so much about life. I've observed the simple, and I've observed the fool, and I've observed the mocker, and I've observed the wise. And here's the cause and effect, he says. Here's the outcomes. Here's what happens in life if you just stay in one of these other categories too long. Here's what he says. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud, and she raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out, and at the city gate, she makes her speech. In other words, wisdom is available to everyone and anyone who wants it. And then she asks the question, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? And how long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? She says, how long are you going to stay where you are? How long are you going to back away or ignore the wisdom that is actually available to you? She says, repent at my rebuke, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings, but since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn, and this is the challenge kind of, this is the threat, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. If you sit long enough, Solomon says, and ignore the wisdom that's available to you, wisdom says I will laugh at you because you had every opportunity and you ignored it. I will mock you when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. In other words, you reap what you sow. And if you sow foolishness, you're going to reap foolishness. And if you sow simple, you're going to reap simple. And if you sow mocking, you're going to reap mocking. And you know what one of the most difficult things, one of the really most heartbreaking things about being a pastor and working with people and counseling people is when people who intentionally stayed in one of these categories too long, they finally decide that they want to fix their life and they want to get things straightened out. And they sit down with you and they begin to just pour out their story to you, and they get to the end and they say, "Will you help me figure this out?" And you never say it, but you listen to their story and you think two things. And the first thing you think is, why did you wait so long? Why did you stay there so long? And two, you think, what you want, you can probably never have in your life. That what you want, you can never have, because you have done permanent damage to your life or to your relationships or to your finances or to your career, because you've stayed there too long and you knew it, and now you want someone to talk you through a situation that just simply is not there. Solomon concludes, he says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of a fool will destroy them. But," and here's the good news. See, everything we've read so far, I think, should just scare the pants off of us, right? "But," he says, "whoever listens to me," in other words, you still have a chance. I'm calling to you. It's not too late to listen to wisdom. "Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." So back to our question one more time. In light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, where I want to be one day, what was the wise thing for me to do? Mockers, that means you've got to admit you're not the smartest person in the room. And fools, that means you've got to start caring about the consequences, because it's not just about you. It's about everyone who loves you and everyone who cares about you and everyone who's depending on you. And simple, it means there's nothing wrong with you. And you have the opportunity of a lifetime. You can have it all. You can have it both ways, but you will not get there by yourself. You're going to have to ask for it. So in light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? This week, ask the question. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for Solomon. And I thank you for the wisdom that he gave us. And if we read his life, we realize his wisdom came at a price. That he ultimately got to the end of his life and just realized he'd missed it all. And so, God, help us to learn from that. Help us to learn the wisdom that comes from living the way that he did. And then, God, help us to ask this question. As we think about where we've been, as we think about where we are, and as we think about where we want to be one day, help us to pause. And at every opportunity, at every decision, at every point where we need to make a turn, help us to stop and ask this question. Help us to recognize wisdom. And then help us to move forward in that direction. And God, if there's anybody here who's messed up and they've just stayed in one of these places way too long, and maybe the solution that they want is just not going to be a reality, I pray that through your divine power that you would step in and you would at least give them the hope that they need and the options that they need for having a better life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.